The book of John, chapter number 20. John, chapter 20. All right, we're going to start reading down about verse number 19. John 20, verse 19, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Ain't that something? One of his disciples was not with them. You know, you miss out on some things. Amen. You can miss out on a great blessing, can't you? If you just get lax in your dedication to the Lord Jesus. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." My. Somebody had been walking with Jesus, seeing miracles performed, hearing all the teachings that Christ had taught. Now he's saying, "I ain't going to believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You know, I studied this passage of Scripture several days ago, and my attention was drawn to verse 30 and 31, where he spoke about the signs or the miracles that Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples, which are written in the book. But he also says these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And the Holy Ghost began to speak to me, and I begin to think about what a story, what a Bible we have, what a blessing this old book, this old King James Bible is in our life. I got to thinking about how it came to pass and what a blessing it is to have been able to hear the preaching of the Word of God when I was a lost man out of this old Bible right here. And you know, I got to thinking about the Bible and its contents and what it speaks to me. It told me where I come from. It tells me where I'm going and how I'm supposed to live my life and how to get past this life and gain heaven and all the many things that I've learned through God's Word. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. Every one of them's inspired of God. It's infallible. It's without error. You ought to thank God that you've got a Bible in your hands tonight, that you're living in a free country where we're still able to come together and worship God and read and study the Word of God and have fellowship together as children of God. What a blessing we're blessed with in our country today. The Bible has at least 40 writers. It spans about 2,000 years in its writing. And let me say that it doesn't have, but it may have 40 writers, but it's only got one author. The Bible tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, God told them everything to pin down in this Bible. That's why it's without error. That's why, hey, it's of no private interpretation. God wrote the Bible. And let me say it's not only just one Bible, one author, one message. One message in this Bible from Genesis all the way into Revelation, it's redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the cross in this Bible right here, and you'll see the end of it over in the culmination of Revelation chapter 22. It's all about Jesus from cover to cover. Oh, I'm thankful tonight that I've got a Bible in my hands tonight. But listen, there's something right here. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through His name. And, I had a total different outline, but today as I was studying this Bible, I got to studying about Thomas right here. And I got to thinking about doubts and how doubt can come upon a person. How circumstances in your life can attack your faith and make you get weak in faith. And the devil will come to you in times of weakness and in times of trouble. And he'll start whispering things to you and he'll have you doubting. Amen. Thomas, one who walked side by side Christ and in fellowship with Him and heard words come straight from His mouth. And he says right here, I will not believe. My. What a statement. So, listen, don't think it's strange if times in your life, doubt may come in. But we can have victory over the doubts in our life. And you need the Word of God tonight. You need this Bible. You need to be faithful in your study time, in your prayer time. You need to be faithful to the assembling of the saints. And listen, the Word of God is so important in our lives to strengthen us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to hear and hear and hear the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What a statement. In other words, Job said, I need the Word of God. I can't live without the Word of God. We need the Word. The psalmist said, His words are sweeter than honey to my taste. He said the words of God, the Word of God is better than thousands of silver and gold. To a child of God, the Word of God ought to be precious to you. Is the Word of God, is it so necessary in your life that you have to feed from it every day? Could be the reason of our weakness a lot of times. The weakness and the devil's attacking us at times because we don't get into the Word and study the Word and feed off the Word of God and draw strength from what Jesus has said to us. We need Jesus. We need the Word of God in our life. But I want to look at tonight at this thing that happened with Thomas right here in the Word of God. You've heard the statement made, oh, doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. You know, I bet you he had a lot of regrets after the statement that he made. And many times now when you think of Thomas, you think of his doubting. His doubting. But I want you to look at some things right here in studying this passage of Scripture tonight. If you look back at the first of this chapter, Christ has risen from the grave. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb there and she finds it empty. She goes and tells Peter and John about it and they race to the tomb and they also find it empty there. And notice in verse number 9 of chapter 20 it says, verse 8 says, they went in also after that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand, even though Christ had told them that he was going to be crucified and that he would be buried and the third day he'd rise again. But they still didn't quite understand it. You know, there's a lot of things in this Bible I don't understand. I'll just be the first to admit there's a lot of things I don't understand. There's some things I do understand, though. There's some things I know, and you're not going to change my mind about it. Amen. Well, listen to me, Brother Ken, Sunday night, I love prophecy. I love Bible prophecy. And Brother Ken used one of the passages over there that I really love, and where he spoke about as the days of Noah and as of the days of Lot. And I understand, I know what that scripture is telling me. It tells me that we're in the last days, that Jesus is soon to come. I understand that. I believe that. And I know that in my heart. The Spirit of God bears witness with this Bible right here that that's true. And we better know, Brother Ken, I know it's not popular in the day that we live to preach messages like that. But it's so needed. It's so needed in churches today. There's so much compromise going on in the world today. And the devil is attacking the Word of God and the people of God. But we've got to take a stand. We've got to take a stand for all these little ones that left out of here a while ago. They deserve to hear the truth. They don't need compromise. Just because the world is going to hell, we don't need to compromise and show them that pathway. We got to stand. Preach truth. Preach truth. Well, I don't know how I got off on that note, but anyway, I want you to notice right here in this passage of Scripture the first appearance of Christ to His disciples right here. He has appeared to Mary Magdalene, but verse 19, He appears now to His disciples. The same day at evening, the doors being shut, when His disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst, saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Now I want you to notice in this first appearance right here, there were fears. They were fears in that day. They had fears because of the Jews had taken Christ and crucified Him. How does this apply to our life today? We have fears in this old world today, in these end times. These are perilous times that we live in today. I don't know if any of you have been watching the news lately, but there's a coronavirus that seems to be taking the world. Amen? I don't know if you've watched the news lately, but there's wars and rumors of wars, and we want to get out of this war, and somebody else wants to start a war, and they're fighting all over this old world today. And the United States of America has always been trying to be a peacekeeper in the world all over. But it's beginning to get hard. Amen? And you know, I think about the end times that Luke teaches us over in Luke chapter 21. Where he said there'd be wars, rumors of wars. There'd be pestilences. There'd be earthquakes. There'd be things in various places, signs from heaven. Men's hearts failing them for fear. There's a lot of fears in this old world today. But they were gathered together and Jesus shows up in the midst. Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad I got a house of God I can come to. When the fears of this old world is overtaking my heart out here, I can come to the house of God and I can get in the Word of God and I can get encouraged by the promises of God. This old world is not going to keep me forever. I'm headed to a city whose builder and maker is God. I have that promise. No matter what goes on in this world today, child of God, hey, He said to look up and realize your redemption is drawing nigh when you see all these things come to pass. Jesus spoke, the first thing He said to His disciples right here was, Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Boy, there's a lot of troubled hearts in this old world today. But I'm glad Jesus can speak peace to a child of God. No matter what comes your way, faith in Him, trust in Him, He can give peace to your troubled soul tonight. Amen. The fears, but notice the faith. Fear produces doubts. Fear produces doubts. That's why we need to trust Jesus. You see, their faith had failed them. If you look back when they come and took Jesus, back in Mark's gospel, you'll find that the Bible says that they all fled and forsook him. Their faith failed. Faith failed. When trouble came, they run. And, you know, we're human. We're human. When trouble comes, when various circumstances comes our way, that's the time we need Christ the most. It's no time to run. It's no time to hide. It's no time to doubt. It's time to trust. This first appearance, they had fears. They had faith, but it had failed. It was weak. Their faith was weak. But then, notice this in this first appearance right here. And notice this, what takes place now. When Jesus spoke to him, said, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Isn't it a wonderful thing when the world's got you beat down and you just feel like you're on the bottom? And you come to the house of God. And maybe it's a song. Maybe it's a testimony. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe it's the preaching of the Word of God. But something begins to stir within you. And you get encouraged. And you see Jesus. Your help and your Savior. Your Lord and Savior. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That's one thing that just keeps me wanting to come to church. I want to see what God's got to say. I need encouragement. I need strengthening. And I can only get it through God and through the house of God and through the fellowship of the saints. I don't know about y'all, but I got family I ain't seen in 2 or 3 years. I don't know if any of y'all got that kind of family or not, but they think I'm weird. I'm too holy, I guess. There's some things that I take a stand on that they done went the other way on. Just exactly what Brother Ken was preaching the other night. They've gone the other way. And now I'm sort of a black sheep, I guess. But that's fine with me. That's fine with me. Christ said, "Marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me first," he said. But now, you'll find us. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, "Peace be unto you." This is the second time he said, "Peace be unto you." Now the Father's presentation. Jesus has come to them. He's appeared to them being resurrected from the dead. And he says this to them, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." What happened right here? The Son, the resurrected Christ, he's come. Now the Father has put him in the presence of his disciples right there, and Jesus speaks a message to them. It's a message of peace, but it's also a message of purpose. He said, "Even as the Father has sent me, even so send I you." We have more of a purpose in life than to serve self. Amen. Christ, if we're born again, if we're saved, we're disciples of Christ. And He has somewhere He wants to send each and every one of us. Brother Ken came in with a good report of going down to the prison ministry. Had 19 souls saved down there. You know, as I was praying yesterday about that meeting, Brother Ken, I prayed and I thought, Lord, there's probably men there that has never heard the gospel. Never. There's probably men there that have never been in a church before. But God has sent our pastor down there to carry the Word of God to him, and 19 souls saved. What a great testimony for our church. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now, God can give you peace. God can give you purpose in life, but He also gives something else right here that you need. Power. Power. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Within ourselves we can do nothing. Nothing. But through Christ we can do all things. He empowers the child of God. He's not going to send you out by yourself. He's going with you. He's your power. He's your comforter. Hey man, God, He's everything to a child of God. This is the first appearance of Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Where He sends, He empowers. Now this was a great blessing in this first appearance right here. But notice this. Not only the first appearance, but the absence. Thomas was not there. Hey, have you ever laid out of church and then have somebody come along and tell you what a blessing you missed? Boy, I just rubbed you wrong, don't it? Don't it? It does. Your flesh don't like to hear that kind of stuff. Thomas didn't like to hear it. One of his disciples. The disciples said unto him, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord, Thomas. He's alive. He's alive. He's resurrected like He said. Thomas said to them, except I shall see in His hand the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. Rebellion. You lay out of church. You just lay out of church. Ain't nothing but open rebellion. Rebellion. And it's going to take you on a path of more and more on a rebellious path. Thomas didn't like what he heard. Thomas, you ought to have been here. You missed it, boy. Jesus was here. He's alive, like He said. Hey, you ought to have been in that meeting Sunday. Man, I mean, God moved. You ought to have been there. Where was you at? I don't know. I just got sorry. Amen. Oh, my. I ain't getting many amens right there, am I? The absence. He was not present. And you know what? He missed the blessing of being breathed upon by the Holy Ghost. It's something else when you get in a good meeting and the Holy Ghost fills your soul, takes you to a higher plane with God. Thomas missed it. He missed it. Now it's written in the pages for eternity about old Thomas, what he did there. He missed it. Well, he missed the message. He wasn't present. But the motivation for missing, why wasn't Thomas present? Verse 27, you know, he said, I will not believe. I think, you know why I believe most people can't be faithful in church? Unbelief. Unbelief. They don't believe the Word of God. If we were like Job, he said, this is more important than me sitting down to supper tonight. Yes. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Thomas had a problem with unbelief, but Christ was going to deal with him about it. He missed the message of peace. The proof of Christ's resurrection, the pleasure. They were glad when they seen Him and the purpose and the power there that day. Unbelief made him mad. Now, the second appearance. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, said, "Peace be unto you." And immediately, look what happens. This appearance, he spoke peace the third time. But now he begins to look to a person in the room and deals with him. Thomas. Have you ever done something you knew you was wrong at, and you come to church and Christ began to deal with you? That's exactly what he did with Thomas right here. He appears in the room with his disciples. He says, "Peace be unto you." And now he looks at Thomas. He begins to deal with Thomas on an individual basis. He singled him out. He spoke directly to Thomas. He said, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Now notice the person he dealt with. You ever been dealt with? I'm sure you have if you're a child of God. God, we don't get by with doing wrong. We don't get by with being sorry without God, the Holy Ghost, dealing with us in some form or some fashion. But he's dealing with Thomas now. "Be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Ain't you glad Jesus loves you enough to deal with you about your sins? You ought to be thankful that he knows how to speak to your heart, convict us, correct us, because he loves us that much. The profession, the peace, the person, and the profession that he declared, "My Lord and my God." What was he saying? He's alive. He's almighty. He's mine and I'm his. My Lord and my God. Ain't it a wonderful testimony to have in your life that you belong to him and he belongs to you? A child of God. Child of God. Heir of God. Joint heirs with Christ. The first appearance, the absence, the second appearance. Appearance, but now, lastly, this assessment. The assessment. The purpose of John's gospel. He sums it up sort of right here in verse 30 and 31. He says, "There's been miracles that I've witnessed, that I've written in this book." He says, "The motivation of my writings right here is to turn people from doubt to faith, unbelievers to believers. Turn people from death to life, from darkness to light." As he says right here, "These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John wrote these things to point people to Christ, to point people from darkness to light, from death to life, from doubt to faith. We ought to be so thankful for our Bibles tonight. In verse 25, he says this, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. I'm glad I got a Bible. I'm glad it talks to me. I'm glad it corrects me. It rebukes me. But it also shows me the love of God. How much He loved us to give His life for us. I appreciate you being here tonight.